That stuff is tough. Lamed Zayin, and in the Mishnah we began, we saw the discussion if Yain Nesach falls into a bor. Okay? And we said what happened in that situation. Obviously, it's Asubah Kakolshu, it does not batel. However, Rabban Shimon Magana was of the opinion you could just sell the entire amount to the goy and not getting enough from the money that was associated with the, meaning not including the money of the value of the Yain Nesach. Although I've explained to take that value and throw it to Yam HaMelech, right? That was another way of explaining. However, what the Gemara, what we saw is that when we finished that, Rabban Gamliel, Rabban Shmuel Gamliel, sorry, would agree with Chachamim that if the wine was added to a tavshil, since it contributed to improving the entire tavshil, you can't use that trick. The whole thing's aser. You can't even sell it to a goy or anything. However, what we now see is Rabun b'shem Rab says, Modim Chachamim Chachamim the chavit ben chaviot. If we have a barrel amongst other barrels, so it's not wine falling into a bor. But distinct barrels, one of your nesach mixes all these other ones, you don't know which is which, then that's the Chachamim agree that you can limkor, you can sell the entire amount to the goy except for the value of the yain nesach that was mixed amongst it. Okay? Which is interesting. That's what we saw, by the way, in the Mishnah when the according to Batanura. Now that's like Rav Shimon in that situation. Okay, fine. Now, Amar Reb Zira Kamei Rav Mi, you got Rav Mi, but it's probably Rav Ami like we had the Matakin before. Ad Deloit Amrit Hada Milta, before Rav had said this, Lo Avim Yen Yadin, I didn't know Du Ken, that's the case. That Du Ken Aloit Amrit, Ella Modim, because I would have thought it was only the case in Monim Chachamim, the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, or Dilma Aloit Amrit, Ella Modi Rabbi Gamliel, the Rabbi Shimon Chachamim. In other words, we had case circumstance where we've seen the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's with Chachamim, and now we're seeing a situation with Chachamim agreeing with the Rabban Gamliel. And he said, without Rav saying this, I wouldn't have known it. Okay, so I'll show you what that means. Is he says, "Kolomar ilu leida amar Rav bun b'shem Rav hachi lo yadan." I wouldn't know that. V'misafkelo hayach it amrit milta bei midrash. I would have not known what was said in the bei midrash. Ilo it amrit ela modim Chachamim l'Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Is it only that the Chachamim agreed with Shamir like Rav said, or Dilma Loit Amrit, or maybe it only said Ki Ayra Rabbanit, that what the Rabbanan said, the Amar Mordor Shimon Ben Gamliel, la Beyanchina Fel Da Tavshil. In other words, I didn't know which way around what was actually said. However, what the Gemara says is that Amar Rav Yudin, Yada Havi Reb Zira to Ken Ela Ki Nish to Shamir Milo Makshela. Meaning, Reb Moshe says, he knew did Amrit Milta the Rav. He knew what the position of Rav was. Ela de asa atzmo ki inish de shama milta umakshe aleya. But the asa atzmo ki ilu nistabek badavar. But nonetheless, even though he heard it, he put himself in a place of like psafek. Nonetheless, I'm not sure why, but seemed to be l'shem limud or to even he's unsure of it. Okay, that's what it sounds like the way the Pnei Moshe explains it. Okay, but we've seen two ways we can see who's agreeing with who, or two cases at even. Now, the Gemara says, this is now halach yudalid. Gatchel evan shezifta, goy menagva vehi tehora. So let's say, shezafta goy, sorry, menagva vehi tehora. I don't know why I read it that way. But in other words, you're purchasing a gat from a goy, and it's been already has zephyr on it. What they would do is they would line it with pitch, and lining it with pitch would prevent any leakage. Okay. But what they would do with the lining itself is that because it smells and there's fumes from the pitch, they would mix in with that wine. Okay? So you get Nainesk absorbed into it. So what's the situation there? In a situation where the gut itself, the hollowed area of which the press is made of stone, then all you have to do is menagva. Now, menagva literally means just dry it off. However, the way the Pnei Moshe explains it here is you need a niguv, sorry, just explain, sorry. I get the wording. You use mayim ve'efer, which is sounds like you're cleaning it down first. Use water and ashes, and then dry. So that, in other words, a clean is good enough. It's kosher. However, if it's shel etz, if it's made of wood, then ready or mer yinagev, it makes no difference. You can just use a thorough clean or a clean of it. The chachamim or no yikalef. In that situation, it does effort. Why? Because when it's made of wood, it needs to be lined a lot more substantially to prevent leakage. And therefore, there'll be a lot more wine that involves. So according to Chachamim, you can't just give it a clean down. You've got to peel the whole thing off. You want to buy the gut? That's fine. But you've got to reline it. Okay. However, if it's shel cheres, if it's the bor itself here, or the gut, I should say, not the bor, the gut itself is made of cheres, Even if you want to remove the lining, it won't help because it would have been absorbed into the cheres behind it, the wine. So even if you peel it off, you're still going to have an issue of yayin nesach. Those are the three different levels. Let's on the Gemara. Gatchel eben shezifta goy. Okay, matnita, meaning the reisha. What the Gemara is saying is the Rebbe fits in the shittat Rebbe, meaning when all we saw was position Rebbe in the middle case. Because that's where he was debating the case where the gut was made of wood. He said in that situation, sufficient with just a wash down, whereas the Chachamim, so in that situation, you've got to peel it off. What about the Reisha? So what we're saying, the Reisha is also Shittat Rebbe, meaning he would agree that with stone that you have to do something, a wash down is fine. So everyone agrees a wash down is good. The second case is what's debated. Shel etz Rebbe Omer Yenageva Chachamim Yiklof et hazefet. V'shel cheres, when it gets to cheres, however, that's the Loka Rebbe. Because in other words, in the Sefer, what the Gemara is telling us now is that he would be Cholek in the Sefer as well. Okay? Also in the Sefer. Even though it doesn't say that. Why? The Tani Hagat va machatz va mashpech shel goy. Now the machatz is like a bucket type of thing used to click, take water or the liquids out of it. That was made of cheres. Rebbe is matir with a washdown. The Chachamim Osrim, so you see quite clear that even with cheres, it seemed to be he was mekel. Even though it doesn't seem to be from the flow of the Mishnah seems to say it was kule almer tzasur. That's what the Gemara is correcting. Okay. Now, modi Rebbe, however, if you're dealing with kankanim of klei cheres, that the asurim. So Gemara is going to ask a question. You've just said now when it comes to the gut that was of cheres and lined with this pitch that we'd said that's fine, it's not going to penetrate it. But now saying with the jugs is going to be asked, what's the difference? The answer is very simple. Means when they're putting these barrels, it's machnisel kiyum. It's going to be in there for a long period of time. So that's when Rabbi says, okay, I agree, cheres is very porous. It's going to absorb the flavor, even if it's not heated or anything. Fine. The machlok was only in this gut where that seems to be a transient type of storage or where the wine goes in it. Okay. Now, Rabbi Yossi says, B'shem Rabbi Yochanan. Halacha is like Rebbe. Okay. Next case, however. Clay Pafyar, or we'd say in English, papyrus. Okay. Quite clearly, if you have a look at Pene Moshe, he says it's min esev belashon arvi papyar. Okay. Hu gadel bi yor Mitzrayim. It grew in the yor in Mitzrayim, in the Nile, etc. In the swamps, really, in Mitzrayim. The osim mimeno niyar. And they used to make paper with it. Right? Papyrus. Okay. Fine. Shiziftam goy. Now, clay, if you make kalim made of papyrus, and ziftam goy, what's a din? Once again, machloket rebi v'chachamim. In other words, they treat it like clay cheres, okay, clay etz, or cheres as well, but clay etz. Now, detani. Now, this detani is an interesting one. Detani doesn't mean we're going to see now, you'd assume it means, oh, now we're going to see the machloket, but that's why some girsas take out the dalet. But Pere Moshe says, Detani, meaning I'm going to prove to you the papyrus and other sort of natural fabrics or things that are growing out of the ground, or natural materials growing on the ground, is treated like etz, such a chachem going to aser. Fine. Meaning you've got to pull off, sorry, you've got to pull off all the zefet and the etz is fine. That was the thing, you have to peel off all the lining. Now, for example, Haita let's say you've got a gut that's tameh and you want to matire it. So we're not dealing with Yain Nesach, we're dealing with another concern with Tum and Tara. What do you do? Halulavim, lulavim are like literally the lulav, but they're used as brooms. The adapim with the boards, the adasha is the place of the gut itself, or the impression, really. It's like a probably like a lintel, like an impression. So menagvam the torin, just wash it down and it's fine. However, the ekel shel netzarim, this is like a basket. It says more like a netting, but it's like a basket of wicker. The shel tavot, which is Kanbus, Vishel etz, made of wood, Vishel shifa, which is said, Vishel shel chutim, some sort of fibers, Vishel gemi, is like we said, reed, but then one translates rushes. What you have to do, you can't wash it down. You've got a miyashnam koshne masachodish, leave it to like a dormant, not being used for 12 months. Ah, you see that there's a chumra by these sort of stuff that grows from the ground, which is like our case of papyrus. Okay, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, it's fine. You don't have to go from the entire year. It's just from press to press. It would be sufficient. Because sometimes it's more than 12 months. Sometimes it's less than 12 months. Okay. Now, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, We just did that. Now, Tani Amarili Amarav Shimon Gamliel. Imratzala, what do you do if you want to make a tar immediately? These sort of materials, again, it hasn't been any hot liquid in it. It's just been used for cold. How do you matar it if you want to, don't want to wait for these things that do seem to absorb and not have to wait for 12 months to miyashnan? So, miyad noter, noten, miyad, noten betzinor, shemeimav mekalchim. You put it under a tap, like a flowing water. Okay? So it's constantly a constant rinse cycle, if you like. But the water's changing, right? So it's like a flowing water. Or benar, you put in a river, shemeimav mekalchim, a river that the water's flowing as well. Kedei ona, for a period of what's called an ona. The Gemara's going to ask what ona is, but we'll see in a minute. However, kesheb shat menagev kach menagev nesach. Despite the fact, the Gemara is telling us now, the discussion was regarding tohorot. Nonetheless, you see that also equally applies to the din of yain nesach. How do you sort of matayer, in inverted commas, these things? Okay, so that's why you see this like chachamim, that even according to chachamim, we find that this thing is treated like clay hairs. So kamei ona, how much is an ona? The Gemara says now, Rabbi Yosef says b'shem Rabbi Yochanan, chetz yom v'chetzi leila, half a day and half a night. Okay. However, Tani Rabbi Chiya omer yom o leila, day or night. What's the difference? Oma palig, are they really being cholak on one another? It says no. Ela kancha yom v'leila shavim, kam b'she'en yom shavim. In other words, it needs to be a 12-hour period. So during some times of the year, it's, you know, perfect times, you'll have all day or all night. However, other times of the year, whether it's in a summer or winter, those times of the year, then it would half day, half night, so you can get the 12-hour. That sometimes it has to the recipe running. Yafe. Okay, now the Gemara says, this is now the next Mishnah, Halacha Tet Vav. Halokeach kli tashmish min agoy. You purchase keli from a goy. There are two concerns here. One is kashrus, and the other one's hilchot tvila. So it's saying as follows, meaning even if it's nothing's wrong with this kli, you still have to be immersed in a mikvah. Okay, so lakoach kli tashmish min agoy. What's the din? Etchedakolat bil yat bil. If it's something that's been used for cold, it was never used for hot. A cup, things like that. Well, now coffee cups and things like that. But let's put that aside. But something used for cold, then immerse it in a mikveh, you're done. If it's something that was heated and used hot, then lagil then yagil. If it was something that was lelaben ben ba or yelaben, if something that's used on a fire itself, fire. In other words, kabalo kach bolto. However, it was used. That method of absorption is going to be the method of expansion. Expunging, let's call it that. Okay? Yafe. Hashiput va'askela, skewer, it's like a mesh that's used to roast meat on. That are examples of things that are done on direct fire contact. So therefore, melaben ba'or, you need to do libon. Methods of kashra. Okay. Va'asakin, what about a knife? Shafa v'hitora. So a knife has another consideration. That even if it was used for only cold, or I should say specifically only cold, again, there's discussion in the Gemara about this when we get to it soon, that because it's used bedocha with pressure, you can have what's called a shamnunit. You can have a layer of sort of the fat, for there's a fatty residue that's on the surface of it. So even if it doesn't need kashering, because it was never used for hot, you still need, and you can't just immerse the mikveh and be done with it because you've got that residue to deal with. So that's why it's saying shafa. Shafa means almost like put it through a sharpener of some sort. So get so in other words, use a method to get rid of that surface layer. I said it. And the Gemara says, "Halokeach kli tashmish min hagoy, akokeach kli tashmish min hagoy, dvarim sheyodim sheosin bahem ochel nefesh, kogon kosot, medichim v'torim." Okay, so things that were used in the process of eating that aren't used for hot, you could just wash it off and you're fine. Obviously, you need to do tefillah as well. Okay, let's continue. Aval yorot v'kumkumin, if it's pots that are brought to a boil and cook things inside, and then obviously you've got a makilim b'chamin, you've got to use hagala, which again, also fill it with hot water, boil it up, etc. So you can do kasher that way. V'kulam shishpah bohem al piyah or kumish bohem, afa bishloit bil, v'yigil, v'shaf, v'liben, and all these kalim. Let's say it was a non-Jews, non-kosher kli. And you didn't do any of that. And you end up cooking with it. Hare, you got El Torim here, but we can, the Girsa, the Ben Moshe brings, is Hare Zet Mutar. Meaning, the Kli, assuming the Kli is clean, that any of the flavors in the wall, assuming it's been a period of time, is what's going to be what's called Noten Tam Lifgam. So if you cooked in that pot, it won't actually make your food treif. Right? It won't make it non-kosher. Because the tam that's contributed to it is lufkam. Again, I'm assuming it's been over 24 hours, etc., and therefore it's not considered a beneficial like contribution. Okay, that's what we're saying. But nonetheless, kasha the kalim and do tefillah. So tana rebbe shaya tzarich la'atpil. Nonetheless, of course, you have to do most of the mikvah. Kahada ravmi, again, ravami once again. Salak im Reb Yehuda Nasiya lechamata v'gadar. This is a place. Okay, shalun here means they borrowed kesef, some silver, raw silver, min ilin de'un osinus, which is from a non-Jew, and therefore they asked, and what were they going to do with it? They were going to use it to make cups. So I'll show you the Pnei Moshe to make it clearer. Shalu kesef min ilin nochrin de'isinus, which is the place, l'shonot shel kesef, so bars of kesef. It sounds like silver pieces. To make kelim, v'shalu et Rabbi Yirmiyah, they asked Yirmiyah, v'amar tzarich la'atmil, do I have to now toil with the kelim we make? Now it's interesting. Why would you think? Well, I thought it's only kelim made by a goy. If I'm making it, I didn't need tefillah. The Pnei Moshe, not Pnei Moshe. I saw this back in quoted when the Likutei Mefarshim explained it. Since this is a different situation, since it's borrowed and going to be returned, then there's like it's still considered the kli of a goy in the sense that it is going to be problematic. So he says, do I need it? Well, the question is, if it's sha'alun, does now do I need to do tefillah or not? Do we have to consider the fact that it's borrowed is going to create a problem? So he said, Shalom, Israel. Since it's gone from the property of a goy to Israel, does it require tefillah? So he says, Neitzeh, I mean, let's go out. Lechutz v'nilmad. Meaning, let's go out to see either there's different explanations. Let's find out, ask shaylos outside, or let's just see what people are doing. It's different explanation of what their intention of netzer was, but they went outside. And it says, as they came out, nafgun v'shamun, they heard Rabbi Yaakov bar Acha, Shimon bar Ba, that they said a name of Yochanan. Lo shanu ela lokeach, meaning the when do I have to worry about the laws of tefillah? That's if I purchase it from a goy. Okay. However, if however, lokeach, aval shoel, if I borrow it from him, then it's mutar. And that's by the way, when you have these interesting situations with people caught on holidays and they have to, what do you do with it? Feel like there's no place to tell the kli. I've got a kli. I need the kli. What do I do with it? So that's why you find these interesting situations where they would you'd I mean, ask a rav in this situation, but some will say you give it to a goy. Gift it to him, it belongs to him, and now you're just going to borrow it off him. So you go to a shop, you buy the kli, you need the pan, and you take this, you gift it to a goy, so it's his. And when you borrow it off him, and if it's shalom, and if it's borrowed, it doesn't need tefillah. That's how you get around the tefillah for that moment. Okay, is it? Okay, then what happens after the fact? That's down the track. You've got to deal with. Eventually, you've got to toil it. However, we'll speak to Rav for practical questions. However, if that's the case, ma'ata afilu kelim. So too, if this raw material, I borrow the raw material, then I fashion kelim out of it. Clearly, then also I would, and I'm going to be returning that raw material back. Therefore, clearly, I don't need to. You wouldn't need to fill it. Now, then the Gemara asks. Oh, so it says, Rav Hoshaya is zabin kelim u'matbilim. Rav Hoshaya also only when he was zabin, only we purchased davke kelim. That's when it was toivola. That's why you know what I'm saying. This place. Okay, let's continue. Now the Gemara asks the question. Doesn't understand. Hacha tamar. Now you've got medichin v'hen torim. Here it's melaben bo'or. In other words, this skewer, the mesh grill that we're cooking on. We said to kasha that a Mishnah, you need livun. Fine. The kol by kojim, it doesn't say that. Atamar magilam b'chamin. It's sufficient just to do hagala. So that, just to appreciate, that's a Mishnah in Zvachim. Tatam perek yud alf bezvachim, Mishnah zayin. Hashipud va'askala, that's been used for korbanot. Magilan b'chamin, all you have to do is just put in boiling hot water. V'amai, so therefore in our Mishnah, why for exactly the same kli, used for exactly the same use to kashrut, do you say I have to do libun? So the Gemara now says, well, there's a difference. Chomer hu b'giulei amnochrim. It's a difference, it's a chumra by it. Why? Because the way the Ben Moshe explains it is, at the time the goy used it, he used it, for example, non-kosher meat. So it was a devar, what's being absorbed? A devar asur is being absorbed. So exactly how it was absorbed has to be expunged. That's why for a skewer and grill, have to do libun for it. When it comes to korbanot, however, when it's absorbing the flavor of the korban, is it mutar asur? At that time, it's mutar. Our only concern is one after kasher because I'm worried about notar. But since at the time when it was absorbed, it was mutar, and it was only after the fact the absorbed flavors, kivyachol, or how you explain it, a notar, that's the concern then. That's why they make kill to say, look, it's enough if you just do, hagala. Interesting. Okay. Gemara says, now this sakin, when it comes to the knife in the Mishnah, tochlu ba'aretz, shlosha pe'amim, meaning other than putting it through a proper knife sharpener to clean it off, if you find hard soil, you can jab it in the ground 3 times, v'dayo, and that would be sufficient. I think it's interesting, there's another girsa 10 times, but the girsa we have here is 3 times. Now, to appreciate this, most of the Mepharshim understand, like the Bavli, that we're talking about a knife that was used for cold. So my only concern is that residue that's on the surface. And the reason why I'm jabbing and stabbing into hard soil is to clean that residue off the surface. However, if we use for hot, obviously I need some sort of cutting process. Sticking the ground is not going to do anything. Interestingly, I saw in the art scroll in the footnote, it said the Rashba understands, since it says shlosh pamim v'dayo, that's sufficient, seems to be that according to the Yerushalmi, the Rashba's understanding of the Yerushalmi, importantly, that that would be enough to even kasher it. Just stab it in the ground would be enough, which is quite a chiddush. Okay, Peseder. Rav says, b'shem Rav Yehuda, hadatama besakin ktana. That's only if you're talking about a small knife. Now, so to appreciate this, again, Pnei Moshe understands the kapshuta we're dealing with, the concern is only the residue. That's why stabbing in the ground 3 times to get the residue works, but only for a small knife. However, a big knife, because a big knife has kimot, gumot, they're having imperfections across it, stabbing the ground is not going to clean it out thoroughly. That's why Pnei Moshe explains big knife versus small knife. Other Mepharshim explain the usage is hot and cold, but Pnei Moshe says we're still dealing with the cleaning of it. So that's still not going to be sufficient. In order to clean it properly, get all the residue and everything off it, you're going to need now libun. You're going to now need to blowtorch it, put it in a fire. And to what extent is libun? It says, va libun, tzarech shiyah notzatzot netezim imena. You get to the point where it's actually sparking. That is what libun, and that's the extent of libun that is necessary for this kashering mentioned in the Mishnah. Okay, with that we say, Adron alach perek asocha lapol v'sikha mesechet avodah zarah. Adron alach perek asocha lapol v'sikha mesechet avodah zarah. Adron alach perek asocha lapol v'salik mesechet avodah zarah. Mazel tov. Baruch Hashem, we have now finished avodah zarah. And amidst Hashem, next year on Sunday, we'll be doing mesechet orayos. Which is interesting, is more depth than you do in Bavli. But short up, but you'll see what I mean. Mazel, of course. Have a good Shabbos.
Shabbos.
Hopefully my voice will be back on Sunday. This is getting frustrating me probably more than you. Okay. Kol tov.